You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Many of you are joining us this evening for the very, very first time. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. You need to know, if you are brand new to the show, you need to know that we do have a free weekly newsletter, and you can subscribe absolutely free, no strings attached, just by going over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get to kevinsmithshow.com, just look for the little buttons that say K-Files E-Zine, and you can subscribe. The reason I tell you that tonight is because tomorrow we start sending it out, so if you want this week's edition, you need to subscribe now. There are always new advancements taking place in the world of science and technology. In the current climate and mindset in which we find our world, we're all very much aware of the fact that we need to find ways to do things differently in order for us to be sustainable, in order for our lifestyles to be sustainable. Now, we can all live without refrigeration. It has been done. There have been many, many more generations of people living on this planet who lived here without any kind of refrigeration than there are generations who have enjoyed the benefits and blessings of refrigeration. You can live without it. I've done it, but it's not fun. One of the real problems with refrigeration, and that includes your air conditioning, your refrigerator, anything where you're changing the temperature in an enclosure. And, some of the problems related to it, as it now is done, have to do with the chemicals involved and the amount of energy involved in keeping your refrigerator cold, for instance, or cooling your house. And people are always looking for new ways, better ways of doing things. Well, there are some scientists, an international group working at the National Institute of Standards and Technology Center for Neutron Research, who have come up with a brand new alloy, a pretty exotic alloy, but they've come up with this alloy that makes it possible to use no chemicals, but only this alloy and electromagnetism. This alloy, it's a metal alloy, and what happens is they magnetize it. They give it a charge. It magnetizes. It heats up. They allow it then to start to cool down. They drop the magnetism off of it, and its temperature plummets. And it does so rapidly. And then they start the cycle over again. Well, that means that you don't have to have compressed gas. And, the way your refrigeration works now is you have a compressor that compresses the gas. And then as the gas expands rapidly, it cools off. And that's not going to be necessary anymore once they put this into production. It'll all be magnetism. We're going to be talking with Jeff Harvey, if we can get him on the phone. Someone doesn't want us to talk. They've already cut us off. We'll try during this break to get him on the phone. We'll be back right after this. Well, now I have to say, I have never, ever, 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 ever had this happen before. This is weird. Here's the deal. Jeff Harvey is, he's been on the show with us here before. And you may remember, Jeff had an implant removed from his leg by Roger Lear, Dr. Roger Lear and team. And it was televised. I think, I'm not real sure. I think it was the UFO Hunters show, or maybe it was some other Discovery Channel, History Channel. Somebody showed that removal. And the implant was giving off it was transmitting on a frequency. And they measured that, and it was a constant transmission on that frequency. And then when they tested the implant, the transmission stopped. They did tests, a laboratory test on this implant, and couldn't find anything unusual about it other than the fact that it was there. That's kind of weird. And they determined that it was probably just, you know, it was just iron and a little bit of sulfur and, I don't know, something else, oxygen. They determined that there was nothing, the lab determined there was nothing really unusual about it. And yet it had been transmitting, and that was measured scientifically. Well, he had that removed from his leg. And in that show, he came on this show to talk to us about it. In that show, he made the statement that I'm talking about in the TV show. He made the statement that he said, you know, it'll be interesting to see as time goes by how my life changes with this out of my leg. Well, I got in touch with Jeff and asked him to come back on the show and talk with us about how had his life changed. What happened since the implant was taken out of him? Now, we hear lots of implant stories. I mean, you know, there are a number of them. But we don't really ever get to follow up and say, well, has it made a difference? Well, Jeff was scheduled to be with me and talk with me about that. And a few minutes before the show, I did what we always do, which is I called him, and we were 5 minutes away from showtime, and I called him. I said, okay, are you ready for the show? He said, yeah, let's do it. I said, okay, we're 5 minutes away. And he said, okay, I'll go get a cup of coffee. I'll be right back. So the opening of the show, the intro of the show started, it played, and as soon as we got into the intro, our phone line went dead. We lost the connection. Well, the phone line didn't go dead. We got a dial tone. I have not been able to get him back on the phone. And I don't really know what the deal is there. We can't get him back. When I call, once I got a signal that sounded like a fax. Once I got a message that said this line is busy. Once I got his voicemail, and then we went through all that again. So I have no idea what the deal is. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to try it one more time and see if we can get through to him. And that is not the correct number. So Let me get the correct number up here and see if we can... Nah, it's not cooperating with me. No. That is not correct. That is correct right there. And let's see if it will work. All right, let's see what happens. Yes, Jeff.
Kevin, how are you?
I don't know what happened. You went to get coffee, and we got a dial tone.
Yeah, I heard your music, and then all of a sudden I heard this long tone, and it wouldn't stop. So I unplugged everything I had, and it looks like we're back.
Well, I've never, ever had that happen before. Now, we are subject to being interrupted by people who absolutely have no regard for the Constitution. And
I was a little suspicious about what happened. It seemed just as I got done printing out a couple of pieces of information for you, everything went down.
Yeah, I don't know. Very, very odd stuff. But anyway, we've got you back.
I don't think they appreciate you.
Well, I'm losing sleep. I'm just losing sleep over that. Okay. Jeff, you really represent something that we very, very seldom get, and that is a follow-up after someone has had one of these implants removed from them. And I've just sort of given folks a rundown of, you had the implant removed from your leg, and it was emitting a radio signal. When it was tested, when it was put on some equipment to test it for that radio signal, it stopped. It quit transmitting. And then it was taken to a lab and was checked. And the guys at the lab said that, you know, they really didn't see anything unusual about it. And yet, even though it didn't seem to be unusual to them, highly unusual, it had been emitting a radio signal, and that by itself makes it highly unusual. Let's talk about that just a little bit before we move into, so what's gone on since this was removed? Well, let's just talk about this implant for just a little bit.
Sure.
This radio signal that it was emitting, were they able to determine what frequency it was on?
Well, first of all, there were several tests that were done. They brought some equipment to do some testing. They first put a magnet on it because, as I had suggested and proved, it was quite magnetic. They also used a Gauss meter, which literally screamed so loud when it got near the implant that it was almost deafening. And it had an extremely high Gauss reading. And then, of course, there is a frequency counter that was very sensitive that was used. But what was interesting is they never, when they discussed on the History Channel, they never discussed the military intelligence connection. Because I was in the Navy and working as a low-level audio-video technician in the intelligence community at the time that I came across a lot of information regarding things of this nature. And when we did the testing, just prior to the History Channel doing their testing, I did a Clearfield channel experiment where you basically make certain that there is no stray RF emanations in the area before you do your testing. And I did that testing and used some of my own test methodologies as well because I was trained in electronics by the Navy. And what happened was interesting. It put out several different frequencies. I got several terrestrial frequencies, and it would sometimes transmit on one frequency, then shift to another over a course of seconds later. And then there was another frequency that was very interesting that was picked up, and that was the same frequency used in deep space transmissions. So, you know, you can theorize what may have happened. Maybe it was a military intelligence implant from, you know, perhaps one of the programs they had operating at the time. The equipment that I worked on when I was in the Navy was in spaces that are way above top secret. And that was what was rather interesting because I only had a secret clearance. And as you know, you know, top secret is like the third from the bottom. It's like one of the lowest clearances you can have. And my equipment was in spaces way above that. So if that tells you anything, perhaps you'll start getting an idea of what may have been going on. So we don't know who implanted it, but the bottom line is we did exhaustive testing. And then after they took it out, they took it to several different labs for testing. And there's a couple of things that basically were anomalous. One, my body did not reject it, first of all. It was encased in a cocoon of material that was not my flesh. And that was connected to my flesh through nerve endings. And the bottom line is it was drawing nutrients from my system and converting them to power the transmitter. So what's really odd about all of this is that when they got done doing some really detailed analysis, they found my DNA in fissures and microfissures within the device that was encased in a pouch of tissue that wasn't mine. And what's really interesting is it's almost as if there was a cover-up. And if I were to speculate, and I will, my speculation is the folks at MIT that were involved in this were the ones that were probably most involved in that. It's only a personal opinion, but after speaking to quite a few different people that know what kind of black ops projects run at MIT, there's no doubt in my mind somebody up there was involved. So we don't know what really happened, how it got there, but those are some of the things that happened during the testing phases that said that we have an anomalous situation here. And it's interesting that they whisked this thing away immediately after they got it out. So that's what happened at that point in time.
Let's talk about where is it now?
That's a great question. Love to know the answer to that.
You were not told where it would be taken?
They took it to several different labs. I was given a CD of photos and some of the testing that was done, and I've got some of that, and of course I'd be happy to forward that to you if you'd like. But I have no idea where it is currently. And to be honest with you, Kevin, if somebody produced a vial of something and said that was it, I'm not certain I would believe them.
Yeah, the chain of custody is broken here.
Oh, it's not just broken. It's bastardized in a strange fashion.
So were you ever told anything about this this implant in terms of how it was able to transmit?
No, the only thing we know is it was drawing the energy from my body to power it. Now, when I say power it, you've got to remember this device looked like a piece of coal about the size of a cantaloupe seed and the shape of a cantaloupe seed. And if you ever saw one of those, I don't know, they're less than a quarter of an inch long, a lot thinner than that, and it was just coal black. It had fissures that looked a little like coal, but the spectral analysis showed it was composed of iron, most of it. But what was interesting is there was no rust on the iron, and there was never any testing to find out whether or not it was a terrestrial iron source. So, to my knowledge, basically, the testing was intentionally screwed up, and that's my personal opinion. Had they been serious about actually doing this, they would have done DNA testing. There would have been quite a few other types of tests done to identify the source and balance it against perhaps meteor rock or asteroid rock or extraterrestrial sources of iron, which we have thousands and thousands of samples of. So it looks to me basically like it was a basic disinformation campaign, and that's what A&E was actually putting across, or not A&E, but excuse me, the History Channel. And it looks like the whole UFO Hunter series was designed in that way, based on what I've seen.
Okay, I want to make clear that that's your opinion of it.
That's correct. That's only my opinion.
Okay.
But you have to understand something. I've spent some time in military intelligence. I've watched a lot of disinformation campaigns be orchestrated and carried out. I assisted in some before I became one of the good guys. And quite honestly, this is so classic, it's almost textbook.
All right. Well, it's been strange. Now, in the video that aired on television where they showed Dr. Lear and team excising this from your leg, you made a statement that you said it'll be interesting to see how my life changes once this thing is gone, or now that this thing is gone. So I want to delve into that a little bit. Let's take the early days right after it. When was this taken from your leg?
Year before last, December. Let's see, we had 2008, December of 2007. I believe it was the second week in December. Somewhere in that time frame is when they did the surgery. They flew me out to California. There's a great doctor out there that did the work. Really good fellow, did a good job. And I got to say something, the company they hired to do the filming, they did a bang-up job on the audio and video work. And coming from a background in that, I got to say they did a fine job on it. And so that happened out in California then. And it was interesting that I said what I said, because it almost turned out to be prophetic, because the moment after it came out,
Jeff, we got to wait. We're into a break, and we'll catch that right after the break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Harvey. Jeff is a man who had an implant, possibly alien, taken from his leg, and he is about to tell us how things changed once that implant was gone. Jeff, we had to cut you off right as you began that. So if you want to just kind of pick up where you were and take over, you've got the floor. Well, it would appear that we have lost Jeff again. This is most interesting. All right, let me try this. Jeff, are you with us? Okay, well, he is gone again. And tell you what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do some of the little tricky bypass stuff that I do here, and we'll see if we can get him back on the line. Until then, let's listen to the song we were listening to. All right, folks, we have Jeff back on some line, and Jeff, what's the deal with that?
You know, it's interesting. While everything that I'm saying tonight is my opinion, it would appear that in some corners my opinions are not popular.
Well, be that as it may, we had to cut you off just as you were about to tell us how things changed immediately after the surgery.
Right. The once I got out and we got a lot of the photo work done internally in the building, we all left and the project was over, and we decided to go out and get a meal. And I was commenting to Roger that what was the most amazing thing to me was that my vision changed so dramatically. It was as if there was some sort of a film over my eyes for years prior, because once I came out, all the colors were sharper, everything looked crisper, my vision was better than it was before, and I just don't know how else to put it, but my perception was sharper, and it was so sharp by comparison, you couldn't miss that.
This was immediately after the surgery?
Correct. Within an hour to 2 hours after the surgery.
Okay. Now, do you wear eyeglasses, don't you?
Correct.
Did it change your prescription for your eyeglasses?
Well, that's the really, truly odd part. My prescription didn't change a whole lot, but it changed enough that year that I had to get a new prescription. But what's really odd is there are some mornings that I'll wake up, and I know this happens to other eyeglass wearers, but I'll wake up and I'll actually have reasonably clear vision for perhaps a half hour before I'll need to put my glasses back on. But that's not the area of my physiology that's changed the most. Prior to the surgery, I was a reasonably driven individual years ago, and I had gotten heavy metal poisoning, and I was bedridden for quite some time. And once I came through that and started noticing that object, and we finally got it out, my health has rebounded in some amazing ways, and I've changed the direction of my life dramatically. While I still have, a company where we do T1 circuits and internet access for companies and phone systems, I'm still active in that, but I began researching health issues, new technologies, and ancient modalities for healing, because the doctors, while they were able to get me back up and running, and I was in reasonable enough health that I could go back to work on a part-time basis, I wasn't very healthy.
As a matter of fact, when you were with us right after that surgery, I think you were on this show in like January or February after you had the surgery in December.
Right.
And at that time, you described for me how your health had just really, prior to this surgery, basically, you didn't use these words, but what you described to me sounded like you were pretty much at death's door.
I weighed about 138 pounds, and if you think about me back in the 90s, I weighed about 200 pounds. It was almost all solid muscle, and when you go from that down to 138, and you can't lift a jug of milk, something happened.
Well, it certainly sounds as if something happened. And how are you now? What is your weight now?
Well, now I'm in the 160s, and I've been practicing an extremely ancient modality that's been used in India for centuries. It's called sun gazing. And I'm certain that the Rockefeller clans and others in the pharmaceutical industry wouldn't want to have people find out about this, but basically, in a nutshell, the first half hour of sunrise and the last half hour before sunset, the UV index is nearly gone. So you can literally stare straight at the sun and you won't damage your eyes during that period of time. Now, what happens is, and what you don't hear in the United States is that when sunlight at that time of day goes into your eyes, it hits cones in the back of your eye, and it fires hundreds of neurotransmitters and hormones, and they actually will balance your body back out and heal you right from the sun. Now, they weren't able to prove this for many years other than anecdotal evidence and opinions. But there are programs now, and I have them on my website, which is jeftech.net. And you can see when you use these programs, we can take a 30-second recording of the voice, put it through a spectrum analyzer on a laptop, and see the state of your body. What systems are in stress, what systems are weak. We can look at disease markers. We can see where your nutrients are and the levels. But what's interesting is it does chromatic analysis as well. It's called Biosonic, and it's up on my site. And what it does is it shows all those markers in bar charts of color. And so prior to sun gazing, you can see you have a certain height on the bar charts and a certain number of those bars that are activated in your body, and they represent frequency ranges. The more you have, the healthier you are, and the higher they up, the better they are. As long as they're not too high, then they're in stress. But the point is you can see what you look like, and then after you sun gaze, you can see what changed in your body, and as little as a minute of that, you can literally take a 20% jump in your health. And that's almost incredible. And they really would not want that out on the air.
Too late. You just did it.
Well, what's interesting is I teach it now.
Mm-hmm.
I now have clients that come to me, people who've got autistic children, people who've got herpes, people who have Lyme's disease. And I now develop protocols to help them rid themselves of these things. And I use sound. I use frequencies way above sound. I use light frequencies. We have devices that we use, like the LFT-9000. It's an LED unit that does infrared tissue regeneration. And they're also on my site. And what they do is they go into the body, and this technology is not something new agey. This is something NASA developed. And the manufacturer, Janice Sullivan, when she originally came out with this, she built several units of different power levels and with different light intensities. And NASA did studies on this. You can go to places like, I think it's the University of Wisconsin. There's an MD by the name of Harry Whalen. He's a professor of neurology, and he's done a lot of work with these as well. And so doctors all over the country now are starting to see that they can literally do deep tissue wound healing. You know that MRSA strain that they have in the hospitals?
Yeah.
Well, one of these devices that I have has blue and red LEDs as well as infrared, and it turns out that the blue kills MRSA. They've done trials on this out of New York Institute of Technology at Old Westbury, New York, and they use it to kill the MRSA in vitro. And they've done several strains with two different populations. One of them was the community-acquired strain, and the other was the hospital-acquired strain. So I've been researching all of these things and practicing using them, and I've been able to help quite a few people.
Well, for our audience who may not know what we're talking about when we say MRSA, this is a strain of Staphylococcus, that our staph infection, that is resistant, highly resistant to antibiotics. And in fact, I've read stories, Jeff, where someone would have this, and it, you know, there would be a pocket of this MRSA sort of localized, we'll say, near the elbow or near the wrist. And the only way they could get rid of it was surgery and just literally cut a hunk out of these people and throw it away. It was the only way they could treat it. And but now, if someone has MRSA and you turn this light on, it penetrates the skin, it gets to the MRSA?
Yeah, not only that, but in some of these LED units that I have, they go in 6 to 8 inches into the body. They can literally go all the way in and work on deep tissue wound healing. And there are studies all over now on what they're being used for. And I'll give you a couple of instances of what they use. First of all, it increases the formulation of new capillaries, which, as you and I both know, they bring blood and oxygen to tissue that needs to be healed. Mm-hmm. It'll stimulate the production of collagen. It really is great at stimulating the release of adenosine triphosphate, which is ATP. That carries the energy to the cells. It's great at increasing lymph activity by doubling the flow of the lymph system. And it increases RNA and DNA synthesis. So there's a tremendous amount of things that it will do to increase and stimulate the body to heal itself. And I recently, about 2 months ago, was bitten by a brown recluse spider. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're...
Oh, yeah, very familiar.
Quite deadly. And I didn't realize it because, as you know, I'm diabetic, and, you know, we have, as diabetics, we have neuropathy, which means we don't feel our extremities as sensitively as other people do. So I didn't realize I was bitten until 2 days later when my hand swelled up with a huge water blister. So when I popped that, wrapped in gauze, I realized that I was bitten, so I used a device that I have that's got a square wave it puts out at 30,000 kilohertz, and I carry this with me because it's great for spider bites.
Okay, Jeff, we'll have to get the rest of the story after this break. During the break, you'll not hear anything. You'll just be on hold. Hopefully, you'll be there when we come back. We're going to try that and see if we can hang on to you. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back. Let me just check. Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah, we had a good connection through that break.
Okay, my little secret squirrel workaround worked. That's good. All right. So you were telling us about this device, this LED device, and some of the really amazing things that it can do. But you got interested in this. Would you say as a result of the implant being removed? I mean, is that what caused you to become interested in this?
Well, there's two things that happened. I got involved in naturopathic health mainly because of the man who saved my life when I was dying. His name's Gary Tunsky. He's an MD. In fact, very soon on my website, I'm going to be using his cellular cleanse because it's the most powerful detox I've ever come across. It makes most of the rest out on the marketplace look like cough syrup. But he's the one who got me into natural health and nutrition. But after the surgery, I became intensely interested in everything that has to do with technology devices that seem to link to my background from back in the military days. And it seems like, for some reason, I keep coming across newer and better devices to use to help people heal themselves, including myself, because I still have a ways to go. But now I'm in the 160s. I've got more muscle than you can imagine, and my brain is sharper than it was. The bad news is it's kind of hard to turn the darn thing off sometimes. It's a little difficult going to sleep when you're trying to design things in your head, which turns out I do most of the time at night.
All right, what about your eyesight? Is it still sharper and clearer?
Yeah, and that's the best part of this whole thing. I see colors like I never saw them before. It's amazing. And that I'm really happy about. And my sense of smell is returning, which is really odd. Now, something else happened that a couple of folks in the area that are practitioners that I work with, we were talking, and now, when I cook, I actually design meal in my head, and I can taste it before I even make it. And I have no idea how that works. So some very odd things have been happening to me mentally and physically.
Well, I'll tell you, that would be one gift I don't want, because I am a terrible cook. I only want to taste it once. Just once, and that's it. All right, now,
I'll tell you, Kevin, knowing what kind of a guy you are, I'm sure I'd eat whatever it is you made.
I don't know. Believe me, that's not one of my talents. It truly is not one of my talents. Now, if we're out in the field, you know, we're out in the jungle or out in the desert, and it's a matter of just putting something on a spit and roasting it over a fire. Anybody can do that. I can
right,
do that.
But in those times, typically even dirt tastes good.
I've eaten nearly everything. Dirt, I don't think, is one of them. But, I know what you mean.
Your tribe probably had it.
You know, this whole thing about the implant is just mysterious. Because there are a number of other people, I guess a lot of other people, who have an implant. A number of people who have had them removed. And I wonder if they noticed any differences. Do you know, do you have any idea if they've noticed any differences?
Well, I don't maintain contact with other implantees. I'll be honest with you, I'm so busy keeping the company running and trying to build it back up, because if you recall, I lost everything prior. So I don't spend a lot of time touching base with others. But I did, I talked to Whitley Strieber a couple of months back. He wanted me to come on the A&E program, but I was so busy rebuilding the company, I couldn't join him on the show. But he was telling me that he doesn't want his implant taken out. He likes having it there. So not everyone is interested in taking them out.
Why were you interested?
I just knew it didn't belong in there. And I'm somewhat of a purist when it comes to my body, that I try not to put too much poison in it. You know, I'll still have a cocktail from time to time. I still like a piece of steak, but the hunk of steak I eat now is about an inch and a half to 2 inches round instead of covering an entire plate. And, you know, I really try very hard to keep my body as clean as I can, so I don't like things in it that don't belong there, or I didn't agree to have them put there. And to me, you don't violate somebody else's body without their permission. That's just the way it should be.
Well, I agree with that. So let's talk about, how did this implant get in you? I know when we talked last time, you had no idea how this implant came to be in your leg. Since then, have you found anything? Have you come to any conclusion? Have you gotten any information on how it happened and who did it?
Well, when I was out there with the History Channel in California, they had a hypnotic regression therapist regress me. And I sat down with her prior to the regression because I had some very specific wants for the regression. One of them was she was not to allow me out from underneath the hypnosis until we got a satisfactory answer on what happened. Now, she didn't do that, but after 2 hours of kicking and screaming through what appeared to me being assaulted, and I guess I was in tears for most of it, they let me out. And you know what I'm like. If I'm up against an opposition, I don't stop till one of us is out of the game. And that's just how I react to those things. And they did not give me the ability to finish what was going on in there. Now, in there, in the regression, there was an entity that was involved. But I don't know if that was a screen memory that was implanted, perhaps by military intelligence or whoever, or if it was reality. But when they regressed me back, it took me back to when I was 5 years old. So we don't know what the answer truly is. That could have easily been a screen memory. So I've decided that I'm going to get regressed again, but I'm going to have Daryl Sims do it. And I think you know Daryl, correct?
Yes.
Well, the reason I'm going to have him do it is because he's ex-intelligence. He knows what he's doing, and he would honor my wishes. He would not allow me out. And I'm one of those people that I have to get the answer. And while it's not tearing me up and destroying my life, it's one of those things I demand an answer to, and I will get it. So I'm going to have Daryl do the next one.
All right, you say that during this regression, during that period of time when you were under hypnosis, that you did see an entity. Did you see anything else? Did you see humans? Did you see reptilians or grays? Or what did you see?
The only entity that I saw appeared to look like a gray. But it's so difficult to tell because... what's odd is darn memory was so sharp, it was as if I was there, and I didn't see but one, and it came through the back door, and that was the house in White Mills. So I don't honestly know if there was anything else there. That's all I remember, and that's why I want Daryl to do it, because I'm sure he'll dig until he gets all the data. And that's what I really want. I want all of the data. Because I'm not afraid of whatever the answer is. It doesn't matter to me. It's just that I need to know what the answer is. We all go through life. We have good and bad things that happen to all of us. And your life is what it is. And so there's no sense being afraid of something that was your life. It is what it is.
Yeah.
To me, it's just a point of either honor or curiosity that I need to know what the truth is. I don't like lies.
Now, this took you back to when you were 5 years old? So this encounter that you had with the entity then apparently happened when you were five?
Well, that's one theory.
And what's another?
Let's look at it from two different aspects. If it's a screen memory, it could have been a screen memory implanted when I was 25. If it was a real memory from an event, then yeah, it was back there when I was around five or six.
All right, we've got a break coming up, top of the hour break. We seem to have worked out our problem with interference of communications. One of the things you don't know is, Jeff, is that they also cut our audio stream out of our video feed for a few minutes, whoever it was. But we're back up, we're running, and we're winning. We'll be back right after this. We are back. My guest this evening is Jeff Harvey. Jeff, in December of 2007, had an implant, possibly alien, possibly terrestrial. Don't know where it came from. Had it removed from his leg. And this is a little follow-up to find out what changes took place in his life since the implant was removed. And, you know, Jeff, one of the things that you said that I think is just really pretty dramatic is that within an hour after the implant was removed from your leg, your eyesight had improved rather dramatically. But it seems that also your outlook on the world has changed. Your worldview seems to have changed some.
Dramatically. I'm now more interested in helping everyone else get to health while I do too. And in the old days, I was a lot more interested in just making a buck and building up a great lifestyle. Now, I'm not so concerned about that as I am making certain that people don't suffer the way I did. There's no excuse for it. There's no need for it. Even it's just like the cancer cures that are out there. Most of these folks that have cancer that were getting cured by doctors The doctors were forced out of the country and down to Mexico because they were curing it, and they can't sell drugs that way. You know, and you and I both know that if you've got a high pH body, cancer can't live in your body. So I teach people how to keep their pH way up, you know, 7 and above, so they don't get that nonsense. And I teach them how to make sure that they've got the liquid trace minerals so the brain works right, and so that the vitamins they take actually uptake. Because without pH, the vitamins or the trace minerals won't work. And all of them work together, and they have to be formulated right to work. So I'm studying all the ends of that, and I'm making certain that everyone I work with knows. And that way, there's none of this hidden knowledge nonsense that's been going on for a few thousand years.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed since I had my little health episode a couple of years ago, I really pay closer attention than I did before. But my body does not absorb potassium out of food the way it should, or maybe our food simply doesn't have enough in it as it should. But when I get low on potassium, I can feel my heart racing. I can feel it, the heart palpitations. I can pop a potassium supplement, and within 15 or 20 minutes, all of that levels out and everything's okay. But not having the right nutrients in your body really will affect you in some very serious ways. Now, that brings up this question about the implant. Since this implant was attached to nerve endings in your body, and since it was apparently feeding off of your body for its energy, it was transmitting, is it possible that this implant also had the ability to receive signal, and maybe someone was directing it to turn off some of the nutrients in your body?
I'm almost positive that's the case. Now, can I prove it? No, because if I had this to do all over again, what I would have done is that I would have had a surgeon go in and make an incision next to this device, and I would have used some equipment that I'm very familiar with using, and I would have done some testing on it, and I would have used a broad spectrum analysis device to take a look at the waveforms that were coming out, and I would have put it through a really high-quality oscilloscope. And I would have looked at the signals, and I would actually have torn them apart with spectral analysis to see if there was a pattern to them and to see if they were actually receiving anything. And as I was telling Roger, you know, they really should have been testing this thing before it came out of my body, while it was inside the body, and attached electrodes down there to do the testing. So I'm pretty convinced of it. And the reason why I'm going to say this is because if you think about this, and before I finish this statement, I want you to do me a favor and send me, after we get off the air, I'll talk to you, but I want you to send me a minute or two of audio of your voice on a really top-quality mic, and I will run it through my analysis system, and I'll get back to you about that issue you've got.
Yeah, okay.
But what I was going to say is that if you think about it, that device had to have been using a tremendous amount of my body's resources. Because when I was ill, and they were testing on me, it turned out I was no longer producing all kinds of things in my body. It was literally stopping producing enzymes, and all kinds of other things were not getting done. And for a period after it came out, my body was still in decline, but now that we've got everything corrected, and I'm at the point where it's starting to rebalance properly, it's starting to rebound. So I'm of the opinion that it was robbing too many resources to operate.
All right. I'll tell you what I would like to do. I want to open up the telephone lines. We'll see if that works. We're going to try, and we're going to open up the telephone lines so that people can call in. Now, the telephone number that we're using is not the one we used last night, folks. The one that you need to use is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. If you have a question or if you have a comment for Jeff about this implant or about implants in general, and also now if you are outside of the United States, you and you're outside of Canada, you can do something else. You can actually send us a flash message, all right? Now, a flash message is just an email, but what you do is you go over to my website, and on my website, you'll, if you scroll down, you'll see a little link that says flash message. You have to be outside the USA or outside of Canada. If you're in Canada or the USA, please use our telephone number. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin. You sound like you're in the bottom of a tin can.
So do you.
All right. What's on your mind?
Hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
Great, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. You know, I like to the thing about the implant, the alien implant, I'm not skeptical about it whatsoever, because I strongly suspect that I've been a victim of abduction also sometime in the past. But the thing is about this shift, you know, these beings that are putting these implants into people, I'm saying chips because I'm thinking RFID chips, but these implants that they're putting in, I don't see why they would want to put them into people, or at least not for tracking people, because if they got that advanced technology to come here, I think they could track us wherever we went, whether or not we had an implant in us. I was wondering if there's any, if you might know of any other possible reasons why that these implants may be in us.
Boy, there's so much speculation on that one. I'm going to be honest with you. I've considered a lot of different reasons. The only one I can come up with, and let's speculate for a second that it wasn't an ET that actually put it in there. Let's say it was when I was in military intelligence. The only reason I can think of is I was exposed to a lot of information that I wasn't supposed to. And something that I've spoken to Kevin about in private and told a few other people is that when I was in the military, when I was in boot camp, I was singled out with a group of fellows, less than 10, and we took a separate oath, because at that point in time in the military, they knew about these organizations that are attempting to basically subvert the Constitution, and obviously they've done a great job at it, and we took a separate oath that no one else took, and I'm not going to go over what that was because I'm not going to violate the oath I took with them. But the bottom line is that if I was being tracked, it was probably from one of these organizations that my equipment was monitoring some of their people. You have to understand that I had equipment that was in the bedroom of the Admiral. It was in the cryptography rooms. It was in the satellite rooms. It was in the Combat Information Center, the War Room, and all the other places that are above top secret. So it would behoove them to keep tracks on me to make certain that some of the information that I did have didn't go where it didn't belong. And if that is what happened, then that's a plausible answer. If it was an extraterrestrial source, I'll be honest with you, I haven't got a clue why. I had a somewhat anomalous childhood in that as a child, a small boy, I was able to, in my dream state, invite other people into my dream to play softball. And the next day after we woke up, we would go discuss the game from the dream state. So maybe I wasn't exactly a normal child. And when I got older as a teenager, we would go down to Rand Derrick's, which is in a town called Honesdale, with some friends. It'd be another fellow and I and a couple of gals. We'd sit in a booth and have a soda and talk. And we played mind games. And I showed them how you could actually have someone have a headache by using your mind. And, of course, take it right back away. So you don't want to hurt someone. But I had some things that I was capable of that evidently not everyone is, so maybe that had something to do with it. That's the only thing I can speculate on.
All right, thanks. And one more question. Is there any? Do you think there's any connection with those implants and the RFID microchip program that's going on?
I'll be honest with you. I can't imagine there's not.
Okay. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814 if you have a question or a comment. And we would be more than happy to hear from you. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, well, I don't know why the caller is not there. It shows on the screen that they are there, but we can't hear them. 623-237-3814. And you can make your comments. You can ask your questions. All right, well, let's try this again. It's the same caller. So let's see what we've got. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan. Can you hear me now?
I can indeed.
All righty. Okay. I had a question for the guest. I wanted to ask him, when the implant was taken out, the radio signal that you said it was, or that was on the show and everything like that, is there any other explanation for what would cause a electronic signal out of that in that location, maybe background noise or something like that? And the other question I had was, you said that you're one of the good guys, and I want to congratulate you for that. Do you think there is a very, very large population of people that you would consider good guys? Is there others that you talk to that are trying to get to the truth and restore the Constitution? And that's the only question I had. And thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for the call.
There's two things, Ryan. First one, all right, let's go over the last question first, and I'll ask you to pose the first one again. The first one, basically, we did some testing to ensure that we were in a clear field. So spurious radiation wasn't the issue. So that first question, basically, no. And that's what they were trying to say on the show, is that it was spurious radiation. But what they didn't know is I did testing outside that they weren't aware of that proved that there was no spurious, and we were still getting the same thing. That's really one of the issues. Now, your second question again, Ryan?
He's gone, but he asked, he said, you apparently are one of the good guys. Do you have any contact with and keep in touch with others that are the good guys trying to get to the truth?
I'm not going to answer that question directly, but I will tell him this. There were six or seven of us that took that oath. And if you think about this, in every boot camp, if six or seven men are set aside to do this for the last 40 or 50 years, there are literally tens of thousands of us out there. And if we are activated at some point, I won't be doing anything else. So I would say there's quite a few of us out there that really, we understand what they did to the Constitution, we understand why, we understand what they're attempting to do. And in some of the goals of the New World Order, such as global government, I don't have a problem with that if it's for the good of the people. But it's clear if you read, and anybody can Google this on the web and look up the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, you know, it's fact that they're attempting to take the population down to a few million. Or a few hundred million, that is. So you wonder why the Clementine satellites are putting out ULF to basically disrupt sleep patterns. And basically, they would like to see you get up in the morning, fairly exhausted because you didn't get a full night's rest, go to work, get the job done, pay the taxes, come home, have a couple of beers, dinner, watch some TV, and go to bed exhausted again and get up and do it all over again to keep their companies running. They'd prefer not to see a lot of small business. They would like to have a few major corporations and everybody working for them. So you're basically a slave labor population. And this isn't my opinion. You can pick up a book by Dennis L. Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. It's called The Globalists. What he did was he took all of their press releases, the books they wrote, the articles they published, and he proved that that's exactly what they're attempting to do, in their own words. He quoted them.
So this right. Let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Yeah, Rusty.
Hello. Yes, I have a question for Jeff. Would you repeat your website for one thing? Then I have a question.
Sure, Rusty. It's www.jeftech.net. It's a .net.
Okay, thank you. I forgot the CH before, that's why I couldn't get it. Thanks. Okay, my question is, you mentioned about in your childhood you had some of these dreams. You think that was in any way related to, like, astral travel in any way?
No, that wasn't, but many years later, I was taught by a psychologist down in Norfolk, Virginia, when I worked in Intel. He was a civilian that worked on some interesting projects, and he taught me how to do OBEs. And I learned how to do them. I learned meditation. I learned various different mind control techniques. And so that happened much later in life.
Well, I was just wondering if with the astral travel, if somehow you could have got a connection about, you know, that chip during your astral travel.
Yeah, you make a good point because that's a possibility. I've talked to a lot of people that have done out-of-body projections, and they've met a lot of entities. I frankly don't recall any of that. Mine were much more mundane variety.
All right, Rusty, thank you for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. We hear about these people who have implants, and we read and see and on the internet and on television. Some of these folks, when they have the implants taken out, but very rarely do we have the opportunity to actually talk to one and say, "So how is life different now?" Were you ever able to determine, Jeff, were you ever able to determine what was causing you to lose all that weight?
Well, I wish I could be definitive on that. I'm not sure if it was the reaction of my body to the heavy metal poisoning, if it was the reaction of my body to the amount of nutrients that implant was dragging off to power itself. I honestly don't know the why of that one. I've speculated, but I'm not certain.
Okay, fair enough. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I had a quick question for the guest.
Mm-hmm.
I know he explained everything pretty thoroughly. I remember when this came up in the news, and I bounced it off somebody who was an engineer, and he said that working in the tool shops, they get constant pieces of metal going inside of their body, and those pieces of metal always seem to kind of move about the body, and a lot of the more experienced workers that are doing fine have chunks of metal inside of them, or at least little slivers or pieces. And they move throughout, and some of them think that it's just a random piece of metal, even though you've given that evidence, which they don't seem to want to take a look at because they're kind of obtuse. Could you refer a little bit more on the radio signals and what makes it different than any other kind of piece of metal that is in a lot of people's bodies that are around the Earth? Thank you.
All right.
Sure, Bob. Yeah, and it's a good question because that was the first thing that entered my mind. You know, I've been in a couple of high-speed car crashes over 100, and I wrapped a motorcycle up at over 100. You know, I wasn't exactly the most calm child. So, you know, I thought, you know, it's probably just something got stuck in there when I got wrapped around a tree somewhere when I was younger. But that's not the case, because what happened was, is the first thing I did was I put a magnet on it, and yeah, okay, it's magnetic. The skin lifted right up. The next thing is when we put the frequency counter on it,
It was very specific frequencies, and it wasn't like it was drifting around. It wasn't like it was something that was oscillating back and forth. It was a frequency that would lock on. It'd lock on for a period of time. What was interesting, too, is if you put your finger on the skin over the implant, the thing would turn off almost as if it was hiding. And then you let go, and it'd turn back on. And you could do that repeatedly. Now, unless there's some sort of psychic connection when you put your finger on the skin and spurious radiation automatically goes off when you do that, you'd have to be quite the have quite the imagination.
So
to think that.
What you're saying is that if you put your finger on the skin right above this implant when it was still in your leg, the radio transmission would stop?
It would cease as if it just saw you coming. And we did this over and over. It wasn't like we tried it once or twice. We tried it several times, and that's exactly what it did. And when you didn't put your finger on it, it was just a solid, stable signal. And it, you know, it put off frequencies in different bands, which was really interesting. What I'm interested in is why I was getting some terrestrial frequencies, and other times we would get a deep space probe frequency. So, you know, if you take a logical jump with the deep space frequencies, okay, fine. Maybe it was transmitting to a satellite for some reason. They use a lot of satellite tracking work now, and there's tremendous amount of that going on in service. So,
all right, we have to take a break. I've got some questions about that when we come back, though. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. We are back, and my guest this evening is Jeff Harvey. Jeff, we had to cut you off again just as the break started. Did you want to complete your thought?
I don't even recall what they were, Kevin.
Okay. Here's a question I've got for you about this implant. We'll open up the telephone lines again here in just a moment, folks. The question I have for you is, this thing is in your leg. It's attached to nerve endings. Is it, and it's transmitting, is it possible that it is receiving from the nerve endings perhaps what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and transmitting that to someone?
Well, that's what's interesting. As I told you, I do audio spectrum analysis of your human voice. And if you think about it, your larynx, your vocal cords, are connected to your entire nervous system.
Yeah.
Which is why every time you speak, everything going on in your body is there for all to see just by looking at the frequencies. If you think about DNA, DNA communicates with photonics, which is light. So it's not such a stretch to think that that information can be channeled through your system and out.
Well, I would think it could be. It seems to me, this is pure speculation, but it seems to me, for instance, you could build a device that senses the vibrations of the eardrum and transmits those, or picks up the nerve impulses from your eye and transmits those.
We were doing that with the bone in the ear back in the 70s. We used to make microphones that would fit in your ear, and there was no mouthpiece. It would transmit the vibrations through the jawbone directly into the earpiece, and that's how the microphone would actually work. And, of course, it would come in through the ear, and you would hear. So you would use those with transmitter units so that you could actually talk without anybody seeing a mouthpiece. So, yeah, that was back in the 70s. That's ancient technology.
Okay, but the point is, if you can do that, then what we're talking about with this implant, with this little piece of stuff attached to nerve endings, certainly seems plausible.
Oh, absolutely. I don't even think that that's new technology. I think that would be probably pretty old. Because if you think about it, this device was the size of a cantaloupe seed. That's so tiny, it's unbelievable. And what that thing was doing and being powered by, that's absolutely amazing. And some of my contacts have told me that they now can get into a capillary with a device. And that's unbelievable.
Yeah, a capillary is basically the size of a thread.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they're using those carbon nanotubes and things of that nature today to design all kinds of things on the microscopic level. So I really think that the technologies that we see as leading edge today, most experts and folks that used to work in Area 51 will tell you, we're 30 years behind it coming out.
Okay, folks, the telephone line is open. If you have a question or a comment for Jeff, telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814, or if you're outside of the United States and Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I have a bunch of those, so let's go to those. Here's one from the United States. Sorry, we don't answer those. If you're in the United States, use the telephone, all right? From the United Kingdom, Gordon wants to know, was it possible to work out what method was used to place the implant during when they were retrieving it? Could they tell how it had been put in? In other words, surgically placed or injected or something more exotic?
Boy, there is the $50,000 question. They were not able to tell, but there are a couple of theories and speculations out there. Let's take the terrestrial first. All right. Let's say it happened while I was in the military. I was stationed on the USS John F. Kennedy, CV-67. I worked in the intelligence center at the time, which is on the O3 level. My bedroom, quote-unquote, consisted of what we used to call a coop, where there was 110 sleeping mates in that room. So in order for that to happen, they would have had to drug me and take me somewhere, like up in sick bay, and do the work. No recollection of that, but who knows?
Yeah.
Now let's take an extraterrestrial possibility. I've been reading Daryl Sims' book. You probably have it. It's called Alien Hunters, The Evidence in Light.
Yep, I've got it.
This is a guy who really knows these things, and there have been speculation that they can actually use the chemicals in your body to make these devices. How that's done, I don't know, but that's the other speculation.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey, Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hi, look, I want to make a comment that I saw the episode of UFO Hunters, and it was the surgery, and I saw that you had lost weight, and then I hear now you've gained some of your weight back, so I'm glad that you're feeling better, healthy, and let me ask you, I could have missed this earlier, you were sick, you were feeling ill. Did your feeling ill, did that coincide with you noticing this object in you, or had the object been in you long before you started feeling ill? And I got one more quick question.
Go ahead and answer that if you would. Yeah, I'm sure, Trey, it was in there long before, but what happened was when I was losing the weight, evidently this implant was very, very deep in the flesh. But when I lost the weight, now this is on the back of my right thigh, so when I was losing the weight, I was in the shower one day, and I felt this bump back there. So I really noticed it after I had been ill for a period of time, and it kept coming up to the forefront of my consciousness. I kept remembering this bump on the back of my leg, and I thought, you know, why on earth would I keep remembering this? I've already dismissed this as a bump that doesn't bother me. But it kept coming up and popping up in my head, so that's what happened with that. What's your next question?
Well, I was going to say that that actually, in my opinion, this sounds like probably an implant that a human's put in you, because all the alien impact technology that we've heard of people using, I haven't heard anyone having one cause them to feel ill. And what I was thinking was, maybe you were implanted with this by your bosses or whatever when you were in the military, and maybe this was back then, and maybe we didn't have 100% accuracy as far as the material that you're putting in you, and maybe it had been in you for a while, and maybe it wasn't, the wrapping in it wasn't lasting, and maybe it was starting to fall apart, or part of it was doing something to make you feel ill now, even though it's been in you for X number of years. And it just didn't sound like anything extraterrestrial to me, because they don't make them, as far as I've heard, the aliens, the implants and with the dreams and everything, these people here don't have any physical side effects from having the implant in them, and it seems to be merely for just location. So I was just going to make that suggestion, that if I had to guess, I don't think any extraterrestrials put this in you if it was causing you the sickness.
Well, I have to agree with you in this way. I tend to lean towards a terrestrial origin myself, only because if you think about it, if you've got organizations and entities that travel here from millions of miles away, I find it really difficult to believe that they need to stick anything in you to track you. I really find that difficult to believe. Now, maybe it's true, but I prefer to think that this was a terrestrial source that did the implant. But I'm not ruling out either one, because I don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm. All right. The telephone line is open. Thank you, Trey, for the call. Telephone line is open, 623-237-3814. And let me jump back over to a flash message out of Australia. I believe that's where this one is from. Let me make sure that is correct. This is from Andrew in Australia. Interesting to see how nanotechnology has accelerated, and the current line of RFID chips will seemingly be able to do more than the standard chip of yesteryear. Some are saying those are the ones, these new ones, are the ones that will be implanted in humans. Can you guys comment on this? Is this technology coming directly from implanted chips in victims? Is that what's coming?
I've been doing some looking around on that, and the current consensus is that they're actually putting some of these chips in some of the vaccines they're using currently. I don't know if it's a fact, but it's something that's being bandied around back there.
Vaccines?
Correct.
Like for flu and measles, mumps, rubella?
Correct. I mean, if you look back at the history of the vaccines, they've been contaminated beyond belief for the last, I don't know, couple of decades. And it's not inconceivable that they would decide, well, if they're not going to accept our chips, we'll just give it to them anyway.
What's the purpose of the chips?
That's a great question. Wish I knew the answer. I just kind of look at it this way. If you're not going to ask my permission to stick it in my body, it certainly isn't because you think I'm going to give it. So it probably isn't something that I would approve of, so it's probably not something good. You know, it's a pretty logical progression on that.
One of the things that is pretty interesting is nanoparticles in products that people buy, that people use. I read an article here on the air. This article was posted actually on Yahoo News, and it said that nanoparticles have been found in sunscreen, in lotions. Four out of five sunscreens that were tested had these nanoparticles in them. No, that's wrong. All five had nanoparticles. Four out of five of the manufacturers said, well, we're not putting nanoparticles in our stuff. And one did not comment. So what do you think is up with that?
Well, you know, that's a lot like two other things. It's like Arm & Hammer telling you there's no aluminum in their baking soda. And it's also a lot like
some of the testing that's been done on Morgellons disease, they've found a tie between genetically modified crops and Morgellons disease, which you may know is probably one of the most painful things you can get. Many people who get it commit suicide because basically they take a fiber, a synthetic fiber, they give it lifelike properties, and they put it in genetically modified foods so it actually grows inside of you. And the fibers are so tiny, yet so strong, they'll pierce a thumbnail. And what happens is you get these fibers, and they actually can grow under your skin. They rupture the skin and cause pustules, and they literally will rip right out of the body. So if you think about them putting nanoparticles into a product that you're putting on your body, you got to believe that the delivery mechanism is a transdermal one. So whatever these nanoparticles are, they can be easily absorbed through your skin, which, of course, is the biggest organ in your body. So if they're putting them in, what are they actually doing is the question.
All right. For the answer, we'll have to wait till we come back. We'll take one or two more calls when we come back, folks. And the telephone number is 623-237-3814. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. We have time for one or two more calls for our guest, Jeff Harvey. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Ryan again. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I was wondering... is it completely legal for an object to be removed from you at a surgery and you not have access to that? Do you know if because of the fact that you were in the service, that possibly I don't know. The question I had was, if it was completely legal for this to happen to you and
for them to not give the chip back to him.
Yeah. I think I know what you're saying here. In order for them to pay for the surgery and do everything, I had to give up the rights to the device. Had I had it to do all over again, I would have retained those rights. That's first of all. So somebody else got control of it. Now, if you look at it from the other point of view, I think what you're saying is if the military did put it in there, they own that device, why would they allow somebody to take it back out? And the answer to that question would be simple. If they put it in without your permission, they sure don't want to get caught trying to say that they actually did that later. Is that what you meant?
He's gone.
Okay.
Telephone number 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. We have time for one more call. And if you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. You know, one of the things that that comes to mind here is that if, in fact, that's what happened to you, if it was surreptitiously put into you when you were in the military, or even afterward, but put into you by the military, it may now be back in their possession.
Wouldn't that be a hoot?
Do you think there's any possibility that you can find where the chip went?
I could, but the thing is how do I prove that whatever they come up with was what was in my leg? See, it was interesting because what I did was, if you looked at the film, you might not have been able to tell, but the first thing they did when they pulled it out, it was I had them put it in front of my face so I could examine it extremely closely. And then when it was dissected, I was there for the dissecting with Roger. So I looked at it, and I spent a couple of minutes staring at it and memorizing all the facets of it. And what was interesting is when they sent me back pictures of it, it didn't look quite the same. Now, I'm not saying they swapped the unit or anything like that, but I'm saying that it didn't look quite the same. So if at that point in time it didn't look the same, how would I know, even if they showed me something, that that was what it was?
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is John. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, John. Are you a first-time caller?
I sure am.
Well, you know what happens with first-time callers? We've got to give you some applause here. Okay, John, what is on your mind?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I kind of missed the first half hour of the show, so I'm a little, maybe a little backtracking here. But I'm just wondering, Jeff, if you exhibit any of the typical sort of abductee symptoms, you know, from Streber's accounts or Bud Hopkins or Daryl Sims.
No missing time, but I've had some very interesting out-of-body experiences as of late, and some things have happened that tell me that I'm starting to change even more. So I can't really answer that in the positive or the negative, but something's going on.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious because I've been reading a lot of those books lately, and it sounds, from what you've been saying, like you're assuming it's not a, you know, an extraterrestrial source of some sort. So I was just curious.
Yeah, I wish I knew where it came from, but I do know one thing. My brain capacity is growing like a bandit right now. I've been able to solve tons of problems I couldn't before, and I've taken a really odd interest in DNA and biochemistry. So my brain's even more active than it was years ago, and I used to study 1 to 2 hours a day since I left high school. So something's going on.
All right, John, okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Do you think that this is as a result of the removal of the implant, or would it be as a result of the sun gazing?
The sun gazing has made huge dents in my health. It's made a heck of a difference. I, through this whole winter season, no colds, no flus, none of it. I can tell when they're starting to go through my body, but I don't get the symptoms like other people do. And my immune system is like a rock now after doing it. So I've been teaching all of my clients how to do it. And people with depression and things like that, I've had them call me back and tell me after a couple of minutes of sun gazing, the depression lifts. And you know how that works with seasonal depression. You're not getting enough sun anyway, so that would make sense.
I think most people who hear you talk about sun gazing would say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, when you look into the sun, you're going to ruin your eyes. And not just because of the ultraviolet, but because of the intensity.
Well, it's partially the UV. You don't want to do it in the middle of the day, the first half hour and the last half hour. I teach people how to do it safely. And you'll find that last few minutes before sundown, it's actually extremely comfortable to look at the sun. And what I teach them to do is look up in the sky away from the sun and bring your vision down to the disk, the solar disk, until it's just a little uncomfortable. And that gives plenty of light in through the cones, and it gets the job done. But as you get more and more seconds built up over the course of a few months where you're up to around a minute, you get to the point where it's really comfortable and it feels good to look at it at that point of time in the day.
And again, do you think that is what has turned on the brain power that you've talked about, or do you think it's the removal of the implant?
I think it's a combination. There's no doubt in my mind the removal of the implant had a huge impact on my body. And it also had an impact on the brain. But the sun gazing combined with, and here's the big secret, the liquid trace minerals that I put down are a very special formulation. And what they do is they increase the electrolytic action within the brain. So you make and you form new cognitrons, At the same time, you're actually increasing the communication. And I think all those things together are helping. What's odd, though, Kevin, if you think about it, is I'm building these protocols to do this for myself and giving them to others, but they all seem to work together.
And seems like it all works for everyone.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm some kind of rocket scientist here. These things are just coming to me.
Well, listen, we're just about out of time now for the show. Jeff, I want to thank you for coming back and talking with us about this. It's been a very great privilege to be able to hear from someone after a period of time has elapsed since having an implant removed. It sounds like things are much, much better for you now.
Absolutely.
Tell us again your web address.
Sure, it's www.jefpech.net. It's jefftech.net, and there's only one F in Jeff.
Okay.
.net, not a .com.
All right. Jeff, if you will, just stay on the telephone with me for a bit. I'd like to talk with you for just a bit after the show. But ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. That's a wrap. We're out of time. I wish we had more, but we don't. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.